I am so glad to see all of you here, and I know we have some friends who are from other places. We've got a group from Vietnam. We're very glad to have you. Please be seated. Now, this morning is our communion service, and it's a time when our family gathers together to share in the table of the Lord. But it's also very special because our speaker this morning is none other than Pastor Bill Wilson. We know him. Many of us actually know him very well. For some of you who do not know him, he's the arguably the pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world. He has done pretty amazing stuff, all right? You never believe some of the things he tells you. You probably do not want to hear some of the things he has to tell you anyway. But he was instrumental in the negotiation for the release of the missionaries in Haiti. He has done two tours of Ukraine, and I'm sure he'll tell you a bit more than that as well. But more than anything else, Pastor Bill is a dear friend of mine, and I'm very glad that he can come and bring the word for us this morning. Now, before we do that, we're going to roll a video that kind of gives us a little bit. Some of you may have seen parts of this video before, but it gives us a little bit of a taste of the sort of, you know, Sunday school busing. He goes around driving a bus. He drives a bus himself, and you'll see some of that in this video. Can we roll that video now? Okay, we want to welcome Pastor Bill. You know, I mean, it's such a privilege. This guy has been stabbed short in places I can't even think about. And I'm so glad that he's made all his way and his time here. Will you put your hands together and help me welcome Pastor Bill Wilson, the most famous bus driver in the world.
Come on, give the Lord a praise. Come on. That's why we're here. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Well, we're doing okay. It's been almost 3 years since I've been here with you folks in the middle of all the COVID drama that kind of really blew up New York in the beginning. Tough time. And yet, in the middle of all the struggles and things that you folks have been through on this side of the world and what we've dealt with and dealing with, as Pastor said, so many of these other things that we have had to deal with. And I'll be talking to you more about that. And I mentioned last night that I'd be doing two more different messages today. So two different messages, because it's been a couple of years. So I've just got a lot to say. And so it's going to be different, both of them. So you can stay for both services. Oh, is that legal? We can't do that. What do we do? Are we okay? Okay. Man, it's so good to be back. And, you know, when you travel as much as I have for these 50 years now of ministry, and you're in a different church just about every week. You saw me driving the bus, as Pastor said, and then I leave every Saturday night to go somewhere, and that's how the wheels of Metro World Child happens, is by me being out casting vision, getting people to see maybe a different perspective of life, of ministry, of how these kids live that we minister to around the world. And as I said last night, and I don't want you to ever think that as a guest speaker, because we joke about this. I've been here long enough that, and it's easy to think, well, this is what this guy says every Sunday, and he brags about the, you know, pastor gets up, brags on me, and then it's, oh, well, now he's going to get up and brag about the, now, I'm going to be 74 years old in a couple of months. So the great thing about being 74 is I don't have to be anything. I don't have to say anything. I've been waiting all my life to be 74. Because I like it. Because I can say and just be and do. So I'm at this great place in my life after all these years of travel around the world in ministry. So understand when I say this, I don't have a lot of friends, and that may not surprise some of you. I don't have a lot of friends. You would think, being on TV as much as I've been over the years, that I would have a lot of friends. No, not so much. All the books that I've written, all the conferences I've spoken at, you would think I'd have a lot of friends. Not so much. Strangely enough. So, when I say that this man right here is one of my best friends in the whole world, you better give God a praise for the man of God. Come on, understand, folks. I said it last night, say it here, and I'll say it for the next service. And if we didn't have another service, I'd say it again. Because when you get older, you value real friendship. When you're young, you think friends is something you got on Facebook. That's just stupid stuff. Doesn't mean anything. Everybody wants little marks and checks and likes. Nobody cares about that. But when you get older, you understand who your real friends are. When I was in Ukraine, and it was very difficult on this last one. And I'm hoping to be able to show you a video at the end of this service will help you to understand what we're involved in, what the Ukrainian soldiers have asked us to do, what the U.S. government asked me to do, to go over and spend time with the little girls and their mothers that the Russians had came in and raped them. It's going to be a different kind of service today. I think you already know that. And as we prepare for communion and allowing the Lord to do something in a unique time, in a unique way in this service, that's always my prayer. But when I come here to this church, I know that I'm among friends. So many of you, even last night at the service, just so gracious to me. Many of you know, after being shot and stabbed and thrown off of the building and plane crashes and all of the stuff that I've gone through in my life, when I come here, and this may seem strange to some of you, but it's from my heart. It feels like home. You say, that's strange. He's an American. Well, Americans are strange. I'm just more strange than most Americans. But this feels like home. and just the understanding of what I've tried to do for the Lord and for children all my life. I feel like you folks understand that. So I say it again. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for being my friend, for understanding what I have tried to do and continue to try to do. I said it last night. I am your missionary. So what does that mean? It means I represent the Church of our Savior. Wherever I go, all over the world, I represent you. I feel like I represent you and this church pretty well for what we do. So thank you for allowing me to represent you and this great church. Wherever I go, in some of the toughest parts of the world, I carry you with me. And I know I have your prayers, and I appreciate that very, very much. There's a few things I want to go over with you before we get into the message today. Some of you probably saw our book tables and product tables out there. I'll be out there after the service with a lot of people that wanted to take pictures and sign books, and I love doing that. So I'll be out there as long as I need to be before we jump into the next service after that. But of course, the book, Whose Child Is This?, that is in 32 languages, that has become a bestseller in so many of these countries around the world, sharing with what God has done, not just through Metro, not just through our staff in New York, but all of you. This is your story as much as it is my story. Because as missions is, it's two parts. It's servers and senders. I'm crazy enough to go do the things that I do, but without senders, there's no way we can reach the amount of children in Sunday school every week. 250,000 kids a week in our Metro Sunday schools. We will be close to 300,000 children that hear the gospel through Metro Sunday School by the end of this year. And it's a pretty extraordinary thing. Yeah, you can give God a praise right about there. It's an extraordinary time, folks. Extraordinary time. And the book tells the story. If you have not read this book, I think it's probably a good time for all of you to catch the book. It'll connect with you. I know. I usually do this. I got time this morning. Who has not read this book? Let me see your hand. You have not read the book. Hold your hand up. Oh, a lot of you have. A lot of you have not. Let's see. Who can I pick on? Let's see. That was fast. Come. Yep. I'm going to give you. Yep, that's all right. We're good. I'm going to come right back here to where you are and give you the book because you raised your hand. You're welcome. There you go. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. So I like my time. And a lot of folks, Pastor Bill, do you like being up here and preaching more? Or do you like being out in the back, shaking hand? I go, where's my sticker? I have a sticker. And I have, how many vaccinations have I had? 1, 2, 3 vaccinations. I am so vaccinated. So you don't have to get nervous. Okay. We're all good. All right. But I enjoy being at the back table. It helps me to get to know you guys better. The books, I'm not going to talk about the books too much. Elephants of Relevance, The Teflon Rhino, In the Crosshairs, books that I've written over the years that are biblical principles, and a lot to see out there. But yeah, I wanted to show you this. And I know it's kind of hard to see up here, but I needed you to understand what these are when you see them. It was my second trip when I was in the Philippines. and we were in one of the garbage dumps, and I was watching the ladies going through the garbage, and I wasn't thinking about it. I thought they're just looking for food, and I understood that. But I asked one of our staff members that what exactly are those ladies looking for, because it looked like they were trying to find something specific. He told me, he said, what they're doing, they're trying to find the magazines with the glossy covers, the glossy paper. So I thought, okay, what is that about? So what the ladies do, they find these glossy magazines, they cut them up in strips about that wide, and they wet them and roll them into these beads and put kind of like a rosin on there, and they put them together, and then they sell them on the streets in Manila. That's what feeds their family. So I got a chance to watch these ladies put these together. It was pretty exciting to me how these women could do this. That was their only way of providing for their children. So I said, please, I want to take these to America. So I take these all on the States. But then I started taking them with me when I went places around the world. So when you see these necklaces or these bracelets, understand, folks, that now, because of folks, again, like you, that have been able to get some of these things, there is no set price on these. It's just whatever you would like to give. This helps to go for the ladies to feed their families. We have several of them now that have been able to put their kids through school from this. But when you put these on or you give them as a gift, let that be a reminder to pray for these people, for the kids, particularly in the Philippines. Some of the folks from last night are planning on going with me next March to visit their sponsor child, which I'm going to explain to you in just a moment. So they want to go with me to the garbage dump to see where their sponsor child lives, to the North Cemetery, where we do Sunday school on Thursdays, for the kids that live in the cemetery, which brings me to these. These pictures are the most important thing that you folks will see on the tables. Why is this important? I'm not a stranger here. I've been coming here for many years. Many of you over the years have sponsored some of our kids. When you knew that my mother left me on a street corner when I was a little boy, that resonated with many of you. And I thank you for that. When people understood that they had a chance to do for some of the kids that we minister to around the world, the same thing that Christian man did when he picked me up off the street where my mother left me, that resonated with many of you. And so again, this year, we have pictures of some of the kids that you will have a chance to do something in their life that's pretty extraordinary. I've got kids from Metro Philippines. Some, a lot of that just in the video. You will have a chance to maybe sponsor a child from Kenya, which I'm going to be talking about that in just a few moments. But when we were in Kenya just several years ago, starting Sunday school in a village there, I was walking around in that village and I was trying to figure out what it was going to take to put the volunteers together, to get prepared, to deal with government people. And I noticed something a bit strange, that there was some older men that had a lot of the kids sitting in circles. And I thought, okay, these aren't church people. These were not government people, but these men were then bringing some. Johan, can you bring me that picture? I want to have the folks to take a look at this. These men were taking these big, giant hypodermic needles, and they were getting the kids there in the village to say, oh, ah, ah, and these men were telling these kids that they were going to give them Coca-Cola. So I'm just watching this, and then it clicked, and I asked one of the staff that were with me, said, what exactly are these guys doing? These men putting these kids in circles, they would take a combination of a methamphetamine and a cocaine mix, put them in these giant needles, and then they would tell the kids they're going to give them Coca-Cola. And the kids don't know that. They open their mouth. And if you've been around drugs, as unfortunately I've had to be living in New York City all these years, you can see this little boy's eyes quickly, whether it's coke, whether it's meth, it goes, especially with little kids, it's ingested into them. And what you are looking at here, and I wanted you to see it today before you go to the tables after the service. This is why I do what I do, folks. This is why we go around the world to reach kids for the gospel that most folks, either they're unwilling or too scared to go. And I'm watching these guys that then I found out were drug dealers. So they get these little kids hooked on drugs in the village. So what you've got in that village is these little kids that are almost like zombies. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, we have to do something. Notice what I just said. We have to do something. I've said it many times. I'll say it this morning in this service. The need is the call. The need is the call. If you see a need and you can fill that today, that's the call of God for you and me today. And I'm looking at this. I don't even know how to explain this to you guys. So I'm watching these guys take these needles of these drugs. And then one of the drug dealers came up to me. I thought, okay, I live in New York City. I'm used to people like you. And he said, oh, you're a preacher. I said, yes, I am. He said, well, preacher, just understand. He said that Jesus will never be in this village. Drugs is the God of this village. And then I won't do this with you folks because I like you guys. But remember, I live in New York. So I came up real close and I stepped into it, right in his face like this. I said, let me tell you something. I know what you're doing. I know why you're doing it. But I said, in 2 weeks, you're not even going to be in this village anymore. You and your drug friends, you're all going to be gone. And he was a little shocked that I would have said that. He said, what do you mean? I said, you'll find out in 2 weeks. And then I just turned around and walked off. Because, see, he didn't know that we were starting Metro Sunday School in that village. And our team got to work, put everything together that needed to be done. And then the very first day we started Sunday school in that village, I didn't see any of the drug addicts. Why was that? Johan, can you give me a picture of the Sunday school there? Yeah. That was the first day in Sunday school. Come on, give God a praise. We ran the drug dealers out of the village. That's first day. Now you say, how does this happen? Oh, and by the way, this picture here, we could only get the boys in the picture. We couldn't even get the girls that were over on this side. What does this mean? I show these kind of things to you when I come here to let you know not just what we're doing, but what you're a part of. This, my friends, is what you make possible. Every week, this is one part of the largest Sunday school in the world, not even close. This is what this church and you makes possible, that brings the gospel into parts of the world that not a lot of people want to go there. I understand that. But we ran the drug dealers out, and then Jesus was lifted up, because when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all men and children unto him. So understand, folks, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. This is where I go, you go with me. Thanks, Johan. I want you to get your Bibles out. I will not be in front of you long. But I look at when I come here to visit, and it's been several years, as I said. When I come here, I enjoy just being with you guys, hanging around at the table. Like I said, signing books, it's all great. It's a big part of what I enjoy about being here. But also, I feel like me being here is giving you an update, such as stories like this in Navasha. Stories of real life people, little kids that are not hopeless, they just don't have any hope. A lot of people have said, Pastor Bill, those kids are hopeless. And I slam my hand, no, they're not hopeless, they just don't have hope. Jesus brings the hope. Amen. Amen. Jesus brings the hope. That's why we're here. All through this COVID thing. And I know all of you, I can assume the struggles that all of you have gone through, like we have in New York City. But I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Let's take a minute, because I've got one verse that I want to focus on in this first service. I was teaching a class on Corinthians, and I was talking about, of course, Paul's missionary journeys and the letters to the Corinthian church and some of the struggles and some of the things that Paul went through, trying to bring the gospel alive into that part of the world where he spent so much time. And I was speaking, as I was teaching that class on Corinthians, about doors. Doors. There's a saying that I use often, big doors open on very small hinges. Big doors open on very small hinges. This one door that you guys have from the elevator that goes up to the second level, it's like one of the biggest doors I've ever seen. It took three of us to open that door. You know the door I'm talking about? It's just a big door. But when you look at it closely, that door opens, listen to me, that door opens on a couple of very small hinges. How does that work? How can something that big, that heavy, and be put into motion on two pretty small hinges? So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about doors that close, doors that open. How many times have you said, God, open a door for me? And then maybe the door opens to your satisfaction, or maybe God opens a different door that you never thought that he would. And yet, here we are, getting ready to partake of the communion. And yet, after COVID, after all these things that all of us have struggled with these last couple of years, I've had a different perspective about doors. Take a look at this, see what it makes sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Go to verse number 8. Paul says, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. I'm going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. I'm going to stay where I am until Pentecost. I'm going to tarry until Pentecost. But now look at verse 9. Paul says, for a great door, an effective door, a great and effectual door is opened unto me, comma, and there are many adversaries. Huh. What exactly at this point in Paul's life and ministry trying to say to the church today? I think I know exactly what he's trying to say. And that's why I wanted to speak to you about this. This one verse. I want you to chew on this week. Allow the Holy Spirit to let this connect, because when you understand, and I have a tendency to go into the Greek maybe a little bit too much sometimes, because I feel like if we can really grasp of what these men and women of faith were trying to communicate to us, in the way that the Holy Spirit put it in their spirits. Look at this. Look at this ninth verse. For a great and effectual door is opened unto me. A door has been opened. Now, I'm going to Malaysia. After I leave Singapore, I'll be around here into next weekend, speaking with people, and then from there, I'm in KL, Kuching, Penang. Many of the services that we'll be doing will be in Chinese. And I ask you to pray for me as we minister to those of those parts of the world, and pray for my interpreter. She's going to have to keep up with me and communicate into Mandarin. So you can pray for me, but you need to pray for her, because I'm not the easiest person in the world to translate. So after I'm done with Malaysia, I go back to the United States for just a couple of days, a couple of stops in Los Angeles, but then back to New York. But then I go to Africa. Now, why am I walking you through this? Let me explain. We're going to be going to Zimbabwe. We're going to be going to Zambia. We're going to be going to Burundi. And we're going to go to Nigeria. Why is this important? Because something very unusual has happened in these last few months. Governments, cities, and national governments have come to us to say, can you folks bring Metro World Child Sunday School to our city, to our country? We cannot deal with the children. We don't know what to do. We cannot educate them properly. We've got kids, it's been, let me think, 7, 8 children that have committed suicide in Kenya, either hanging themselves from a tree or in their home on a curtain rod, killing themselves, committing suicide as 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. They have no food. They can't eat. In their mind, they have no hope. Why do you think, folks, what we do? That's why I wanted to show you that picture. I wanted you to see the situations that these kids not just deal with, but live in. I understand that. And that's why when you see these pictures, you understand. This is why one of the businessmen just a few weeks ago said, "Pastor Bill, I want to sponsor at least 10 kids through my business because I know the difference that it makes. I get it. But I'm telling you this, why? Because I'm not talking church people inviting us to do Sunday school in these countries. We're talking about governments. We're talking about non-church people that are starting to see what can happen when Jesus is real in the life of these kids. That sponsorship and people like you folks from another part of the world that these kids don't even know. And yet, every one of these kids, particularly the from Kenya, you'll see the Kenya kids' pictures. Because of the sponsorship, these kids get one hot meal a day. Now you say, "That, what does that mean?" That means when you have a kid that's on the edge of committing suicide and doesn't have anything to eat for days at a time and says, "I'm done, I can't, I don't know what to do," and kills himself, what happens? Jesus comes in his glory, in his power, as the word comes forth. And these kids here, they're not hopeless. They just don't have any hope. But Jesus brings the hope. Four countries, folks. How am I going to go and start Sunday school in those four countries? Honestly, and I'm being honest with you right now, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going. They've invited us to come. They've asked us to come. Somehow bring Jesus there. What does that mean? I'm talking about a door that is being opened to us, to you. A door that has been opened that's a pretty extraordinary door. When I started in ministry as a young man, it was push and shove, trying to get into places that we wanted to go. But now what's happened? There's another door that has been opened in this latter part of my life. Why is this important? There's three things I'm going to give you quickly, and I'll be done. What kind of door is Paul talking about? Let's look at it. There is a door now that's a door of opportunity. A door of opportunity. I have to go to Africa. I have to go and talk to these government people. I have to go and see what can be done. What? Because I hope I'm smart enough after 50 years of ministry that God has sovereignly opened a door to us. You understand? It's a great and effective door. It's a door of opportunity. That word effective there means active in the Greek. When you look at it, it means something's happening. My God, something is happening, folks. God is, after COVID and all of the things that all of us have dealt with these last couple of years, God is rebuilding. God is opening doors. God is putting an opportunity to the church, to this church, at this time. It's an opportunity, folks. It's a door of opportunity. What kind of door? It's a door of opportunity. But look closer. It's not just a door of opportunity, but I believe Paul is saying that this door that was open to him, it's a door of obligation. Write it down. Don't miss it. Read this again this week. It's a door of opportunity, but it's a door of obligation. At my age, when I went to Ukraine on this last run, and I was a little bit chastised by some folks. who said, you're too old. And they weren't saying it, but that's what they were saying. You're too old to go out and do these things. You're too old to go out there in the bush. Come with me to the Philippines. Come with me to Africa if you sponsor a child in Africa. Come with me next year. Walk with me. Go where I was dropped from a helicopter into the bush for 4 days, going back in some of these places that other missionaries chose not to go. I get it. We've got another place I didn't even mention to you, but we're going a short trip to the Democratic Republic of Congo in the southern part where the fighting is. And people question me, why are you going at this age? Please hear me. I have to go. And some of you are looking at me like, what do you mean you have to go? I have to go. Why? God has opened up sovereignly a door of opportunity to us for ministry. It's a door of opportunity, but it's also a door of obligation. I'm a grateful man, folks. Some of you know me better than others. I shouldn't be here today. Him and I have talked about a lot of things that I've seen, things that I can't even talk about in church service. I have an obligation to take the gospel where the door is open. But last, number three, it's a door of opposition. Look in that ninth verse. And there are many adversaries. When I was in that village and head to head with the drug dealers, I'm used to adversity. I felt aware that the devil can throw everything at you and me. A door of opportunity. It's a door of obligation, but it's also a door of opposition. Door of opposition. I'm used to the opposition, but greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. That's why we're here. That's why we take the gospel. The video I'm going to show you now as I close was shot live when I was in Ukraine. The Ukrainian soldiers are not taught to stand guard in front of the children that are wounded or something. Sometimes killed. But what you'll see in this video is a shadow of a soldier, a Ukrainian soldier. A little boy was blown up in a house. The medics came in, pulled him out. They were trying to resuscitate him on the ground. But you'll see in the video, as you see the shadow of the soldier, he's got his rifle next to him. And he's just standing guard. Listen to me. The soldier could have gone off, go on to a greater need, or back into the fight. But he stood guard from this little boy who was blown up in the rocket attack. The little boy that you will see didn't make it. The medics couldn't save him. But even as the medics picked the little boy up and put him in an ambulance to take him away, the soldier stayed. The soldier stayed until the little boy was put in the ambulance and was taken away. He stayed guard. I'm telling you what I'm telling you, and I'll carry on in the next service. But I want you to know, as you watch this video, this is my life. This is where I just was. And I go to Africa from here. And my goal has been to say, Lord, thank you for opening a door of opportunity to me to serve. for Metro World Child. Thank you, Lord, for the door of obligation that I sense. I sense that because I should have been dead myself years ago. I shouldn't be here. I'm very aware of that. I have an obligation to serve God in a greater way in the latter years of my life than I ever have. But then I'm also acutely aware of the door of opposition. But whatever the opposition is, I know whom I have believed. I'm still persuaded that he's still able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. As you watch this video, you see the little boy dying there in Ukraine. Look at the soldier, the shadow of one man standing guard. If we can roll that video, if you will, please. Thank you. She was trying to explain that she just put the boy in the back room and a shell had hit the front of the house and the back of the house, and the whole thing fell in on the little one. And the rescue crews came in, they pulled him out of the rubble, laid him on the ground, and the medics are trying to resuscitate him. And then there's a soldier standing there, and you can see him. You can see in the shadow, and he's holding his rifle, and he's standing over the boy while the medics are trying to save him. And there's a word in Ukrainian, zasnik. It means defender. There's something about some of these guys, when there's a little boy, little girl, that's been shot or killed, they stand there, the medics, working on the kid. They're guarding. It's that zasnik. This little guy didn't make it. But still, because they were putting him in the ambulance, and he's done. But the soldier still stayed. And he stayed guard. Stand guard on this little dead boy. I've spent my whole life to try to be a guardian. I've been trying to stand guard to kids all over the world, trying to do the best that I can after all these years to stand guard. I'm trying to stand guard for those. Maybe some make it, some don't. But somebody has to stand guard. Door of opportunity. One more time, and we go. Door of obligation. I have an obligation to go and do the best we can. And there's going to be a door of opposition. I know it. I know it. I know it. I've done this all my life. But I wanted you to see this. And I told you, I will stand guard for a generation until I'm done. And I thank you for praying for us, for the little boys and kids.